This is the Life Church Podcast.
Hey, today is Father's Day, and you know, today we're going to pause for a second, and we're going to take a Sunday, a weekend, to basically say, Dads, we love you. Dads, we thank you for what you are. God has tasked you with an enormous, enormous, enormous challenge, the challenge of being a father. It is big. In many ways, to be the image of a benevolent, loving, gracious, and just God to what sometimes can only be considered little rascals, right? It's like, oh, really, how can I possibly do this? And yet, it's exactly what God has invited us to. So today I honor you, dads. You're not perfect, but you're dad. All right? Okay, let's pray and we'll be done. No, I'm just kidding. You should look at me like, where are we going with this? Actually, I want to speak practically today to dads and really to moms and really to all of us here, because I want to talk about being present. I want to talk about what it looks like to be present. I think oftentimes it's easy for us to struggle with mindlessness or to not be present, you know, and we miss moments with our kids. And so there's a movie that I really love. It's called The Rookie, starring Dennis Quaid. It came out as a Disney movie, came out in 2002. And it's a movie about baseball. It's a movie about this Dennis Quaid who is a teacher all of his life, and then in later in life decides to join the majors. But really, it's a story about a father and a son, and the role and the importance that the father has in the son's heart. The movie kicks off, it's the story of Jim Morris, this baseball player. It kicks off with an 11-year-old baseball player who is playing Little League and gets up on the mound to pitch. And before he pitches his first pitch, he scans the crowd, looks at the bleachers, looking for his dad, but he doesn't find his dad out in the bleachers. Maybe he's a little disappointed, but he goes ahead and pitches anyways and strikes out 11 batters straight, just strikes them out, wins the game, gets on his bike, rushes to where his dad is at work, his dad working on a military base, and rushes into his office, you know, and as he rushes into the office, he sees his dad sitting behind a desk buried with files and very disinterested in youth baseball. The message really is loud and clear for little Jimmy. I'm too busy. I have more important things to do. Now, before we characterize that dad, before we try to make him as the bad guy, I doubt that those were the words that were going through his head. I'm too busy. I have better things to do. In fact, he may not even if he in his subconscious recognized that that was the message that he was sending, he may not have had done something a little bit different. But it's mindlessness. It's what happens to us when we're navigating and going through life. It's easy to do the dad thing, providing, and totally miss the moments that are most important in a child's life. We're physically there, but sometimes our minds are not there. We're not really present. And I know that that at least is true for me. I know that there's been way too many times in raising my four kids that I have been physically present, but not really there. And I won't ask you to raise your hands, Dad, if that's ever been your case. Life moves quickly, but God has given us these opportunities to seize the moment. Seize the moment. We can either seize the moment, we have a choice to seize the moment, or we can be swept away in this frenetic pace of life. It's easy. We can go with the flow, or we could stop and pause for a second and say, I'm going to take advantage of this very moment, of this very present moment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is the passage that actually we kicked off our last series, the Lies That We Believe series that we just got through. It says this, 2 Corinthians 10:5, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And what Paul is saying here is that we have a choice. We have an opportunity to actually seize the moment. You and I have, we can actually stop in that moment and do what is right. It's a choice. So let me ask you, Dad, Mom, or any person here that may have people that you love, are you present? Are you present? I want to do the awkward pause and ask you, are you present? Are you there? Are there barriers that are keeping you from being present? Is it a career? Is it a hobby? Is it an obsession? Are you present? I know it's a very simple question. I know I'm not really, you know, it's like, okay, Rich, move on. Get to the meat. But that's a question that we need to ask ourselves on a regular basis, and particularly if we have little ones around us. Are you present? My kids are grown and adults now, but interesting, we have little ones around us again, grandkids. And I find that this is circling back around again, and I find myself needing to ask myself that question, am I present? I realize this is sometimes a huge task to be present. Sometimes you're tired, you feel depleted, you've worked all day, you've had a hard day at work, and it's hard to, you know, to work all day and really labor in a hard way to then come home. It's just a lot easier. Just come home and sit on a lazy boy, pick up the remote control and turn ESPN on, or you know, so you think you could dance, whatever you like to watch on TV, you know, than to really engage a toddler who just ate a whole box of Twinkies. It's like, it's just easier to do certain things. But here's the deal. We have been entrusted with the lives of those little ones. We have been. You and I, when God has put those little lives in our life, it's an entrustment. Now, I'm aware that not everybody here is a parent, and but you may be thinking about it. You may be like planning it. Maybe you're sitting to a fiance and you're thinking, yeah, down the road, we're going to get married and have children. Or maybe you are married and don't have children. And you're thinking, I'm going to one day have children. I don't, you know, all those scenarios are important. So I think it's important, though, that you be prepared for this, what it's like to have children. It really is important that you prepare. Now, what I'm about to share with you is this supplemental material. It has nothing to do with my sermon today, but I think you need to really be prepared to have kids. And so in a gesture to help you be prepared to have kids, first thing you need to be prepared for is communication with kids. Like he said in the video, the guy said, you know, I just love repeating myself. How many of you know that's not true? Okay, so to prepare yourself for having kids, just start saying everything you want to say, say it 5 times in a row. Stop, stop. Stop, 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 you know, whatever, however you say it, you know, walk into your boss's office, you know, on Monday, and you finished a nice report, you walk in and say, the report's done, the report's done, the report's done, the report's done, the report, no, don't do that, because you might get fired, actually, you know, or if you're on a date, first date, maybe you want to put this one on pause, don't do that one either, to repeat yourself 5 times. If you think someday you're going to have preschoolers, it's really important that you prepare yourself to take them to the grocery store. Seriously. The only people who laughed here are the ones that, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, right? What is it like to take a preschooler to the grocery store? Because the truth is, nothing can prepare you for that unless you practice. So if you're going to go to the grocery store, take with you something that kind of closely approximates a preschooler, like a wild rhesus monkey. I have a picture here. Now, in the first service, I put that picture up and they were like, oh, you know, so cute. These guys are like the devil. I know, factually, this. They actually take over entire cities in India. They're rhesus monkey. There's documentaries. Go look it up on National Geographic. These guys, they act cute and everything, but man, they bust in. They break into people's houses, into their kitchens, steal their food, all that stuff. You know, that's who these guys are. So if you want to be prepared to take a preschooler to the grocery store, get one of these guys and take them to the grocery store with you. And here's what you have to do. You need to walk through the grocery store, not a single minute taking your eye off that monkey. Always your eye on the monkey while you shop for your groceries. And then when you're done and you're about to check out, pay for everything you were planning on buying, plus everything that the monkey ate or destroyed on the way. And that'll prepare you. And if you're not ready to do that, you know what? I would just suggest never have kids. I'm just kidding. That's not true. Actually, parenthood is a blessing in a lot of ways. It's an imperfect blessing, but it's a blessing. So what I want to do is I want to share with you four ways that you can be present. And I'm not just talking to dads here. I'm talking to moms. I'm talking to actually all of us in this room that may be interacting with somebody that we love and we care about and we want to be present. Okay, so this first thing is put aside the past and put the future on pause. Put aside the past and put the future on pause. By definition, if your mind is not fully engaged, then you're probably replaying the past or you're dreaming about the future. And you know what? Those are things that happen. Maybe the replaying of the past is not a healthy thing, but we all think about future things that we need to do. And I'm not proposing that you be an existentialist and think only about the now and never think about the future. You have to plan and all that kind of stuff. But see, you need to understand that kids' minds don't always work that way. Kids don't always live with regret. They're rarely always planning for the future. They're living in the now. They're living in the moment. Listen to the advice of James. James chapter 4 says this, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money, why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life?" This is what James is proposing. It's a question. What is your life? See, we spend way too much of our lives dwelling with the past, thinking about all the mistakes we've made and all the garbage in our life, and we spend way too much of our life in that. Or maybe we spend way too much of our life just dreaming and never really getting traction in life. And James asks a very powerful question. What is your life? You're a mist. This is his answer. You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Wow. It's not very encouraging, is it? But I think what James is trying to tell us here is that life comes to us in these little packages called the present. And that what we need, you and I need to do is we need to make the most of every moment that we have in life. Make the most of it. Take advantage of it. Live in the now. So you need to let go of the past. You need to release the future. Dads, moms, seize the moment you have with your children. Another thing we could do is we could feel gratitude for imperfect gifts. I love Psalm 127. Psalm 127 is kind of an interesting psalm because it kind of starts off with the psalmist saying, hey, you know, you're toiling in life. You know, your life can be hard. You work hard. And God is a good God. He gives rest to those he loves, right? So in the beginning of Psalm 127, he's promising rest. He's promising, you know, relief from all the toiling. And then it turns on a dime. And then he says this, "Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them." And it's almost like this practical joke from God. It's almost like God saying, hey, I want you to have rest. I want you to have peace. You work so hard. I want you to, and so I'm going to give you this 2-year-old hoodlum who's going to jump in your bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. Really what the psalmist is telling us is that children are a gift. They're a blessing from God to you and I. And maybe they don't always turn out the way you expected. Maybe they're less than perfect. Maybe they ravage your heart with some harsh words they might say to you, or actions or choices that they make in life. But at the end of the day, they're a gift from God to you. They're imperfect gifts. I have 4 imperfect gifts. Now, when I say imperfect gift, I'm not trying to say that God gives imperfect stuff. That's not what I'm getting at. What I mean is that we're humans and we are all less than perfect, and I have 4 of them, it happens to be. They're now adults, but I remember, you might have heard me tell this story before because it's a hilarious story, but I remember when I was around the year 2000, we bought a house in a little town called Tioga, Louisiana, and the house actually, the back of the house butted up to this golf course. And so at that time, my three oldest boys, my oldest was in 7th grade, and my middle son was in 5th grade, and my youngest son was in 3rd grade at that time. And so I, and my daughter, she was at like a daycare or something at this, was just like 2 years old at that point. And so I was going to go out for a run, and I told my boys, I said, hey, don't burn the house down. That's the advice dads give to 3 boys that are 7th grade, 5th grade, and 3rd grade. Don't burn the house down. And so I go off for a run, and I get back after about 5 minutes, missed that. I get back, and you ever walked into your house, and there's like this eerie silence? You're like, okay, wait a minute. I have a 13-year-old and a 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, and it's too quiet for that in this house. And so I walk in, and man, it's quiet. And my oldest son, he's sitting in, we have this kind of like Four Seasons room that has glass, and you can see out towards the golf course, and my son is sitting on the couch watching TV there, and I'm my oldest son, and I'm like, what in the world is going on around here? I just knew something was wrong, that dad intuition kind of thing, you know. I knew something was wrong, so I'm looking around, scanning and wondering what's happening, and I look at Jonathan, I say, hey, Jonathan, where's Josh and Gabriel? He's like, I don't know. Typical answer you get, you know. And so I'm like a little bit nervous about what's going on because I don't see them around, and he's just very peaceful. And so finally I'm like, where is Josh and Gabriel? And he kind of looked at me, and I could tell the little smirk on his mouth, on his face. And then he kind of looked out into the yard, and it made my eyes go in the direction that he was looking at. And there was Josh, my 5th grader, and Gabe, my 3rd grader, hiding behind this, had this big planter in the backyard, butt naked, hiding behind this planter. And there's golfers walking by, you know, and stuff. And I laugh now, but I have to be honest with you. And the doors were locked. And I know Jonathan has something to do with it, but I asked them, they're all like, I don't even remember what happened. We don't know how it happened. We just know it happened. But that day, I got so mad. I'm like yelling and screaming. I'm sure I grounded Jonathan for the next 5 years because of what he did. And I was angry at them, you know, and they could tell you how angry I've gotten in the past. But I now, maybe now because I'm older, I look back and I'm wondering, gosh, I wasted so much time being angry. Can I tell you, you'll never fully be present in the moment if you're not willing to accept that those little ones around you are imperfect gifts from God. They will make mistakes. They will. Now, I don't mean that you don't discipline or you don't create boundaries or you don't allow for consequences. I'm not saying don't do those things. But when the dust settles, for you to step back and recognize these are gifts from God. These are gifts from God. God, you have given me this gift. It's a blessing in my life. It's not always easy because they're imperfect gifts. Another piece of advice to be present is to ask good questions. Now, I know we saw the video up there. Dads, we're really notorious for pronouncements. We don't ask good questions. We walk into a room and we don't say, hey, let's engage in that. No, we're like, do this, don't do that, stop doing that, jump over here, go over there. You know, that's how we are. We're good at pronouncements. I know I am, right? Here's some classic dad pronouncements. Turn off the lights. You think I'm made out of what? Money. That's right. How many of your dads ever said that? Of course. My dad said it, you know? Here's another one. What part of no do you not understand, right? Now, we're good at that stuff, you know? We like to just tell it like it is, right? Or I love this one. My dad must have not been clueless when it comes to this. He would say, you better be quiet back there or I'm going to stop this car, right? Now, here's the problem. My dad would put five boys between the ages of 5 and 15, okay? So we're between 5 and 15 years of age, in the back of a station wagon and say, hey, boys, we're going to go have fun at the beach 2 hours away. Sit back there, don't touch each other, and don't make any noise. Really? That's impossible. That's absolutely impossible. And, I mean, my dad, he never stopped the car, but I'm not kidding you. A couple times he did this. We go all the way to the beach, and you could tell my dad was mad because he was redheaded, you know, freckles and all that. And when he would get mad, his face would turn beet red, and he's holding the steering wheel, and his knuckles are clenched, you know. And so my dad, we get all the way to the beach. He wouldn't stop the car on the way, but we'd get to the beach, and then he would make us all stay in the car, and one by one we'd get out, and he'd say, okay, spank us, and then they'll go have fun on the beach. One by one. And I'll make my dad sound really bad, but it's true. It's terrible. Sometimes, dads, we're saying a lot of stuff, but we're not really communicating. You know? We're making pronouncements, but we're not really getting to the heart. If you read the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus was fully engaged with the people that he loved and he cared about and he interacted with. And you'll notice that he asked good questions. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but why would Jesus have to ask a question? Seriously. If he was a person, okay, well, there's a humanity aspect there and that maybe he operated by the Spirit, but I'm certain that he operated in full connection with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't he know everything? Right? Why would he have to ask anybody a question? Because after all, he's Jesus. He knows everything. But he always asked good questions, right? He goes up to a man who's been begging all of his life and he says, hey, do you want to be fully healed? He goes to a woman who's fetching water at a well and says to this woman, hey, how are things going with you at home with your husband? I mean, he knew, but he still asked the question. He comes up to Peter, and Peter's talking about what everybody out there is saying, and he says, Peter, who do you say that I am? Did he really have to ask those questions? No, he knew the answer already. And guys, just so you know, you may know the answer. I know many times, I know the answer. But it's more helpful to ask a question. Right? Jesus asked good questions. And what he was doing basically, he was telling them, I am interested in you. I am interested in you. And because he asked good questions, you see that all kinds of people were drawn to him. Kings and prostitutes, businessmen and beggars, they were all drawn to Jesus. They wanted to be around him. Because he was interested in them. This is really how you develop a soul relationship with your child. By asking deep, penetrating questions. You want to get to know their heart. You want to know who they are. And it's an opportunity for you as a parent to say, to walk into, before you talk to your kid, to say, to ask yourself, to pray this prayer, Father, will you speak to me? Holy Spirit, will you give me insight? Will you give me knowledge? What could I ask my child that will help me connect at a heart level with that child? What can I say today? What can I ask them? See, questions communicate that you want to be there, that you want to understand the heart of that child and sitting in front of you. And speaking of heart, this last one is share your heart. Share your heart. Nothing conveys that you are fully present in the moment with your kids than when you share your heart with them. When you let down all of the facade, when you let down all of the whatever you're trying to, you know, keep in front of them and you just say, here is who I am. Let me share my heart with you. And I know this is hard for dads, I know, because our dads taught us that affection was demonstrated by putting food on the table, by providing for us, by making sure there was gifts under the Christmas tree. You know, that's how our dad said, I love you. They were trying to tell us through their actions that they loved us. But see, you need to understand something, dads and moms and anybody that's in this room right now. It's hard for kids to read between the lines. Yes, you're providing. Yes, you're doing all of the right things. Yes, but that doesn't always translate into the language of, I love you. It doesn't always say, it doesn't always feel like a personal touch. Studies have actually shown that humans are physically and emotionally more healthy and live longer if they receive 8 to 10, you know, just perfect kind of touches throughout the day that show affection, meaningful touches. And we know this is right, right? I mean, you've experienced that. Have you ever experienced a solid handshake? And you, at the end of the handshake, you're like, man, you know what? I'm connected to this guy, right? Or a pat on the back, you know? Or a hug. And all of these things basically communicate that you're valued and you're loved and you're cared for. And this is hard for some of us. I grew up with a very non-touchy dad. That's how my dad was. My grandfather, he was an old school mechanic. And the way my grandfather related to me and the way he showed affection to me was he'd look at me and say, a trabajar. Like, hey, go work. That's how he showed affection. Get to work. In fact, I don't know if you, I just, something dawned on me in the first service. For the 13 years that I knew my grandfather, Rafael Villalta, that was his name. For the 13 years that I knew him, I had only ever seen him working. Never seen him in any other context. I've only ever seen him working. Underneath a car somewhere, building a fence, digging a ditch. That's all I ever saw. And I'm sure that in his mind he was saying, I am loving my family by doing this. It's no wonder that I sometimes struggle with workaholism. See, I communicate love through high fives and slaps on the back, you know, or you can ask my kids, pressure points. There's one right there you can ask him. He's like, no, that's not love. That's not love. I mean, if I come up behind you and I pull your underwear up over your head, it's just me saying, hey, man, I love you. You know, that's kind of how we communicate love around our house. But really, the truth is that deep inside the heart of every child on this planet, there's a hunger to know the place they have on their father's heart. They want to know. Guys, are you listening to me? They want to know where they land, where they rank in your heart. They want to know that. And that movie that I talked about, I alluded to earlier, The Rookie, Jimmy was this young boy who loved baseball, but his dad was really unresponsive to his love. Now, years have passed, and he's now in his late 30s, and he's followed a career of being a school teacher, but all these years he's loved baseball. All these years he's really wanted to pitch in the majors. That's what his goal was. That's what his dream was. But he's kind of set that aside basically to just do the normal dad thing. He decides in his late 30s to go ahead and pursue this dream of pitching in the majors. It's a nearly impossible task, especially at his age. But he manages to do it. He fights through all the little leagues, the minor league stuff, and he finally gets this opportunity. He's actually in a major league game, and he's closing out the game. Pitches to this one batter who has a reputation of knocking it over the fence pretty regularly, and here's this rookie pitcher. But he wins the game. He wins the game. All these years, Dad had not been present. Take a look at this video clip real quick.
pitches did you throw to get that strikeout?
Fastball. Hmm? Fastball and fastball.
How'd it feel pitching in the major leagues?
Just like I hoped it would.
How's the arm feel?
Could you excuse me for just for 1 second? Could you excuse me? Sir? I didn't know you were here. Wasn't missing this one. Watching you tonight. Not many fathers get a chance to do that. I guess I let too many of those things get away. So did I. Well then. Hey, Dad.
This movie doesn't really resolve the situation, but I want you to notice something. I know this is a movie about baseball. It's a dramatization, Disney dramatization, feel-good kind of thing, but the underlying story and the one thing that you see here, and maybe whether Disney was being intentional about it or not, the underlying story is this. There's a man who just finished pitching his first game in the majors. Wouldn't that be an accomplishment in itself? Wouldn't that be something that would consume his thoughts, his mind, his everything, his being? And yet, during the interview, the one thing that seems to be on his mind is when he sees his dad, he wants to know the place he has in his dad's heart. Dads, don't underestimate the role you play in the hearts of your children. Even if they're grown up, even if they have colossally failed or you have colossally failed in the past, you have to speak to their heart through words. Words like, I love you. Words like, I love being with you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that things didn't turn out the way they should have. I wish things could have been better. These are all things that we can say. You can communicate love through touch as well. It may seem awkward at first, you know, putting your arm around somebody you don't really embrace very much. You may stumble through words as you try to pour out praise, but really it's not the execution that matters. It's the fact that you have made that step to open up your heart to them and let them understand that they have a very special place in your heart. It's never too soon to do this. It's never too late. As long as your child is still alive, even if there's a lot of water under that bridge, as long as they're there, you can go back and give a blessing. You can reach out and give them a hug. You can let them know that they're loved. Dads, do you need to pull your kids aside? Or maybe you have adult kids like I do. Do you need to pick up a phone and make a call. And just to the best of your ability, let them know that they have a special place in your heart. Use words, use touch if you can. Whether you're a father or not, let me close today by asking you this. Are you fully present? Are you fully present in the moments that you have? Or are you replaying the past or dreaming about the future? Are you present in the moments you have? You know, children have this amazing ability to say some of the most profound things. Last night, Josh's daughter, Ellis, our granddaughter, was at our house, and I was lying on the bed, and my wife was sitting on the floor next to the bed, and Ellis, completely unsolicited, we didn't beg, you know, Pops has to pay her to do these things, but it was totally unsolicited, walks up to Christy, my wife, and just hugged her and said, "Nana, I love you," as clear as can be, and it just melts your heart. Or when your first grader is out on the t-ball field and swings at that tee and misses the ball and strikes out and in shame runs to you, puts his head in your shoulders and just cries because he feels so embarrassed and ashamed. Or when your teenage daughter has her very first heartbreak and she wants to cry herself to sleep, but she's just going to sit there and just ask you, just listen to me and don't say anything. I have to tell you guys, I have missed way too many of those moments because I was just mindless, because I was preoccupied with providing, and I don't want to do that anymore. And I could stand here with regret because I have adult children now and think, man, I've missed my opportunity. But as things happen, I have 4 grandkids that are kind of running around the house now. And I don't want to miss those moments. So I'm asking you, very specifically, are you present with the ones you love? Are you living in the now? Amen? Let's all stand. Father, we want to approach you this morning, Lord, as our Heavenly Father. We recognize that you have modeled what it is to be a good father. And we want to emulate that. We want to live by that. We want to, the day that things are being said, eulogies are being said about us after we've been buried, that our kids would say, "He was a good father. He was a good father." We're not doing this in the dark. We're not lost. We know that there is an example for us. And you're inviting us to stop living in the past and stop thinking about the future, to try to live in the moment. Inviting us to actually engage and ask good questions, to get to know this child's heart, to share our hearts with them. Jesus, help us this morning to be present. Help us to somehow or another pause this crazy life that we're in and seize the moments that we have. We thank you, Father, because you're good and you've given us an ability to do that. In Jesus' name.
This is the Life Church Podcast.